Started, there we go. Thank you. And there's another addition to join. Hello. I'm going to wait 30 seconds for another person to join the meeting. Welcome. So I've already introduced myself, so at least said hello. My name's Anton and the beautiful Rodianne. Rodianne and I are engaged. We're getting married next September, next spring. We're looking forward to that.
I haven't set the date yet, so go and tell everybody.
So welcome everybody. Is it shifting?
It's shifting
as a result of the weather. It's really hot in Cape Town. If anybody of you are in this area, you realize how warm it has been in the last few days.
Yes.
We don't want to get married in November. We'd like to be done with that by then. I'd like to welcome and introduce the three panelists that are here. And then also, Madeleine and Corita, will you also just say hi very briefly after we've said hello to Margie, Rodi, and Kerry, just to say where you are and also a little bit about yourself. Let's hand over to Margie. Margie, let's start with you. Good evening.
Hi, I'm Margie. I'm an early career mushroomer. And I've been doing it for about 4 years, and I've been watching for about 18 months now. And it's just a journey that keeps on giving, and really takes me to places that I really enjoy going. So very individual, the journey. You take it by yourself. It's very much where you go with the journey and how you work with it. I think that's all I want to say for now, and then we'll see how things develop in terms of the questions.
Thank you, Margie. I like that, because it is all about the people that have joined us. You'll learn from us as we speak a little bit more about us. So a short introduction is great. I appreciate that. Kerry, over to you.
Sure, the pressure's now on, hey, to do a short introduction. So, hi, everybody. I have also been working with mushrooms for a number of years, and also, like Margie, have been in the watcher space for about 18 months. I did a full journey this past Saturday at Somaland, which is the first journey that I've done as a journeyer, because I've been doing a lot of watching. And I was really struck after the journey, what a profound experience it is, and how it really deeply connects you into other people. It connects you to nature. It connects you to the world. And I think importantly gives... and I'm saying this gives you, but it gave me just a little bit of a readjustment again in terms of my truth and who I am, and what my purpose and being is in the world. You know, sometimes living in the world that we do, particularly if you work in a corporate-y environment, you get caught up in a lot of the stories that we tell ourselves and that are out there in the world. And Soma has been a profound journey for me and a profound teacher about my truth and my way of being. And I am eternally grateful for this journey and for the work that Anton and Rodianne and Monica do in bringing people to this. That's it.
Thank you, Kerry. Madeleine, Corita, Madeleine, can I ask you to say hi? Yes, ma, you look like Moi. Hello.
Hi, donkey. Hi, everyone. My name is Madeleine van Wyk, and I'm actually from Hartenbos, Mossel Bay. And for now, I am in Carolina, Mpumalanga, and I'm returning home on Sunday. I'm actually involved, I think it's 5 years now, since I've met Anton and Monica. And yeah, I do a lot of one-on-one, one to two, maximum one to three people that I do at one. And if I must say something about Soma, is it really what I've seen through the people, the healing that it brings? But I think if I can take a word or use a word, it's boldness. People get boldness after a journey to face things in their life, to face their past, to face trauma, to face sickness, to face or any kind of thing. They face it and they deal with it. And I think that is a word, especially with my background in spirituality. And that's one thing I can say about it. And then the most wonderful thing is for me, the people that I've met since the first day I've met Monica and afterwards then for Anton and Freddie and everyone. I think it's the people I meet. It's awesome. It's people that is real, that know, you know what? It's not worthwhile to be a fake in this world. Be your true self. Thank you.
Thank you, Madeleine. So lovely to have you here too. Corrida, goeienaand.
Hello, Anton. It's so nice to see you guys. I have to say, I haven't seen you for a while. Margie, you as well. My name is Corrida, obviously. I'm in Robertson at the moment, and I have done some full-dose mushroom journeys and some smaller doses. But my interest really is with watching. I really love being a watcher and to be part of that process for people that goes on that journey to me is very precious and very special. And I always end up feeling privileged. And sometimes during a journey, you wonder what you're doing there. And then the next morning, you know exactly why you're there. And it's such a wonderful experience. And as Madeleine said, the amazing real people that you meet in this community, to me, is such a bonus in this world where Kerry said the stories that people tell themselves, that we all tell ourselves at stages. It's so nice to be with real people. And my interest is in the process afterwards. It's become my passion to be there for people afterwards. And I love seeing the shifts and what happens and the connections and the beauty that just happens after a summer journey and during. So thanks for inviting me to introduce myself, Anton.
Thank you, Corrida. Pleasure to have you all here. Rodian.
My turn. So I've been introduced just a little bit by Anton. My journey with Soma and mushrooms started many years ago, probably a good 10 years ago. And looking back on my life, it's probably something that's changed my life more than anything, and probably in the most gentle and most profound ways. You know, Anton and I do this Soma at home thing very often, once a month. And we introduce ourselves in the WhatsApp group in the week that comes. And it always gives me an opportunity to check in with myself. And the beauty that's come is I've had an opportunity to look back on my life and actually think, because now it's been many years, it's not just 6 months, 18 months. And I can really honestly say that there's been nothing, and I say nothing in my life that has made such an incredible impact on my life. Yes, the people are incredible, and you meet, and I think it's because we all come here with this, with the same desire to search for something more. And there's something about everybody that wants to do that for themselves. So it's a wonderful place with all these people that come together. We always say that when a ceremony happens, the people that arrive are so special that come. You each have something incredibly special to share with each other. And that has been so true. We all learn from each other always. And with this group that forms, there's almost something that once you've taken mushrooms, it's like you understand each other in a way that nobody else really does. And there's just and that we always call it the family that you have once you leave a summer ceremony. So you know, I question why I do this. I often question why I sit here and I'm here at these information sharing evenings month after month. And when I introduce myself and I think about it, of course I'm going to be here. It's probably one of the most amazing experiences to be a part of, as tough as it is, because don't forget that even though we're watching and we're here, we have to work just as hard on ourselves, because it's part of the job, if I can say that. So before I carry on, I don't think I've said much about myself. I think I was just waxing on about mushrooms and just how amazing it's been in my life. And I can just invite you to try it out for yourselves, because it's awesome. So I'm going to stop there.
Thanks, Robbie. That's us. That's the five roses and me. The thorn amongst them. We're normal people. You have all arrived here through whatever method of research that you've gone through. Either you found Monica online, either you've been referred by a family member or a friend, either you're going to Somerset West to journey there, either you're just curious, or you're joining an at-home event. We stress quite hard how normal we are. We're actually just like you in that at some point, be it a year ago, or be it 5 years ago, be it 10 years ago, we also arrived in exactly the same way. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that differentiates us is that we now have experience with mushrooms. And we have experience in working in this way. Mm-hmm. And I think I spoke about this very briefly before the meeting started with Margie and Kerry. The necessity to highlight that of what we are offering and what we're not offering. We're not offering a solution. We're not offering a treatment. We're not giving you a treatment that says we're here for therapy. We're not replacing your psychiatrist, your psychologist, or your mother, or your father, or your priest, or your shaman, or your guru. We're not doing that. We are providing a spiritual experience where you're able to explore a divine within yourself. As a kickoff, I want to read something that was written by one of our watchers, Roger, which defines what we do. And he's written that as calling it the Soma way, which is our way. Because I think more and more people contact us, and this is as a result of Monica putting herself out there and receiving as much attention as what she has. When people are looking for information about mushrooms in South Africa, this is very often where you arrive. And this is where you have an opportunity in this platform to ask questions. And the answers that you get are different from what you get online. Because the answers that you get to questions of how, where, what, and why are given in a very Google, Facebook, YouTube kind of way. They are often based on international experiences, academic experiences, not necessarily experiences that have been shared in this kind of way. So when we're talking about a Soma retreat as of this evening, I wanted to share this as written by Roger. And then I want to open the floor to you guys that if you do then have questions, please ask. I know some of you, Francois there has asked a question about wanting to know more about what a watcher or a companion can expect about this experience. Others of you may have ideas or concerns of what you want to know about a experience in Somerset West, et cetera, et cetera. But more importantly, I think it's for us to share, what do we mean by working with mushrooms in the Soma way? Because this is not the only way. In fact, it's becoming more and more the lesser way, because people are arriving to work with mushrooms because they've heard it helps with depression. We're not promising this is going to help with your depression. We're not promising to be a psychiatrist who wants to be trained and say that doing this journey or going through this experience is going to take you off your antidepressants. It's not. The work that you do afterwards is what's going to help you with your antidepressant. And what you see as a result of this experience is likely to be not what you expect. Because you've still got to go through the experience and you've still got to be honest with yourself about what made you depressed in the first place. Exactly. You've got to confront that trauma and deal with it. And that's what a Soma experience is about. The alternative is something else. And that's a mushroom journey. It's not a Soma journey. It's not a Soma retreat.
And I think confronting those difficult things is what we are calling the hard work.
Yes.
You know, because it's not easy confronting these things that are shown you. if I can say that. Just wanted to add that in there.
Thank you. So Roger wrote, Roger, I hope you listen to this, because I've read this now how many times, and you've sent this to us how many times as well, and we do read it.
We do read it each time.
And Roger writes, the Soma way: in a Soma ceremony, we offer you the opportunity to have a deeply spiritual, mystical, personal, and possibly life-changing experience, a journey into your own consciousness and beyond. We practice this work and offer these ceremonies in the Soma way with the seriousness, reverence, respect, and humility it deserves. There is no shamanism involved. We are neither your guide during your experience nor your therapist. We believe that your Soma experience is deeply personal, that your journey is between you and Source, whatever that may be for you, facilitated by the spirit of the mushroom. It is your journey, your experience. The Soma way is an inward journey. In most cases, there is very little outward manifestation of what you may be experiencing or what insights and messages you are being shown. Our responsibility is to help you prepare yourself and to provide you with a safe, loving, compassionate, and trustworthy environment within which you can immerse yourself fully and deeply into the experience. We do not profess to treat or heal any condition, such as depression, social anxieties, addictions, and the like. That a Soma journey may provide relief from such conditions is, in our view, occasioned by the deeply spiritual journey that we help you to experience. Often it is incumbent upon you, the journeyer, to take positive steps in relation to insights and messages received during the journey and realizations made in the days, months, and even years following a Soma experience. That's the context that we are sharing about Soma retreats and how we work with mushrooms with you. You may ask any questions and get more information about our thoughts and experiences about that. But we're finding a need, or I'm finding a need personally, to stress it more and more and more, that we don't need to defend ourselves to a psychiatrist. We don't need to defend ourselves against a judge or a person on the street that says, what right do you have to give this mushrooms or help people give these mushrooms under these circumstances? We don't, because we're not justifying any treatment. But we are seeing what a positive impact this does make on people's lives. And we are seeing that so many people arrive because they're seeing family members, they're seeing friends, they're just seeing that they're different and they're behaving different. And you want an opportunity, and people want an opportunity to experience that as well, so that they can have the connection that they're potentially looking for in their lives, be it for healing, be it for knowledge expansion, be it for mind expansion, be it for whatever reasons it may be. So that's me being preaching. I arrived in a certain mood here this evening, so I wanted to read what Roger had written. And I hope you take it in from the positive point that is the way that we are communicating and sharing information about. So if you have any questions, if you have any thoughts, there's some of you that have never worked with mushrooms before, or you have taken it recreationally, maybe even in previous years, and have had some experiences with it. If you have any thoughts, now's the time to hand over, or now's the time to speak. Let us know in the text box, we're happy to answer your questions. I see people furiously typing.
Hello, Jennifer.
Jennifer, do you want to?
And Francois.
And Francois.
Let's start with Jennifer, if we can get you to unmute. You need to do that for me on your side. There we go. Hello.
Okay. Hello. Firstly, Anton, I'm sorry, but I thought I had sent the link, but thank you for coming back so quickly. I thought I'd missed this opportunity. Thank you very much. I've been taking anti-anxiety. My anxiety has really flipped the charts this time. And I've got to a stage where I really, just want to drive over the cliff. And I was talking to a friend of mine. I know my brother's been on your retreat, Colin. with Monica, and his experience, I'm not going to equate that to what I'm hoping to get, because it obviously will be quite different. And I'm so anxious that I can't even get there by myself. I do know another lady who is going on the 17th of December. So I don't know if there will be availability, but I will try and see on your link if you send me it, if there is availability. The thing is, I'm so anxious that I can't even, as I say, see myself there driving by myself. And I just want to know from the watches, you see this also work. When you talk about the watches, are they the group of people who oversee that you are okay during the mushroom experience?
I can answer, Jennifer, if you want.
Yeah.
I'm a watcher sometimes at ceremonies in groups, bigger groups and smaller groups. And yes, that's exactly what watchers do. We're just there. We're not watching, but we are the presence that makes you feel safe so that you can let go and experience your journey.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Jennifer, yes, Anton.
Your anxiety. Yes. Your anxiety, is that got to do with the general life anxiety that you're dealing with? Or does it have relating specifically to going to Somerset West to work with mushrooms?
Well, it's both. You know, I suffered from panic attacks for 10 years. Okay. So you know, from that, I'm always afraid to be by myself or not know if I'm driving somewhere, something happens. I'll be by myself. What, you know, who's going to find me? What's going to happen if something does go wrong on the drive there? So I was feeling more comfortable. Initially, I was going to go with Colin, but it just never happened. But the anxiety has been going on for about 20 years. I'm married to an alcoholic, and we just recently moved from Johannesburg a year ago. And at my age, 73, it's very difficult to adjust. And also that made the anxiety worse, because we're just renting. I don't know how long for. I don't know how long the money is going to last. So it's just an accumulation of all of this. And so far, the doctors that I used to see in Johannesburg, I was used to them. And now with a new set of doctors here, they can't put themselves in my mind, how I am feeling, the anxiousness and the, depression. You know, it's a different sort of doctor here that I see. So I think out of desperation, I feel I need to take a chance and just see what I can achieve. Although at the same time, I know you said it's no magic formula, but you know what? It's like my son said to me, well, if you're afraid of dying, so what if you go there and you die? It doesn't matter. You know, take that risk. So I've got to do it. I'm not a person who normally lets go. I've never been drunk in my life, only because I'm scared to let go. I hold on so tight. And maybe that's big part and parcel of the anxiety as well, is not to trust and just let things be as they're going to unfold, if you know what I mean.
Jennifer, at risk of rambling on, because I don't do that very well, I want to answer your question about anxiety in preparation for the event, as well as your life anxiety. First of all, I know you've been struggling to get in. Colin joined us a month or two ago now already. You it just hasn't aligned that you could come with him. And I really do hope that we can get you in December. I'm very aware of, especially people who have been trying to get in for a while and trying to make space for them, that when the time is right, we'll definitely make a plan. So when we can get you in, let's assume that's for the 17th of December. During the week before, we start communicating with the group that will be arriving. And that plays the purpose of addressing the anxiety that you have for getting to the retreat. To share with a group of people very much in this kind of way about what you're experiencing, about these uncertainties that you have in your mind of what may happen. Michaela has mentioned about expectations. We suggest that there aren't expectations. And you can set intentions in many ways, but if you set expectations, your mind runs away with an imagination of anxieties and fears as well. So don't have any expectations. So don't have any expectations of what your fears and anxieties may build up to create. But we're setting a space where you can start creating with a group that will arrive on the Saturday night. And you can start sharing that in the group as well. Even if you start traveling, sometimes people travel from upcountry. They can let us know on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday beforehand, they're passing through Bloemfontein or they're passing through Carlsberg. We start our journey together in a way of getting to know each other and sharing what our fears are, because we all have very similar fears. Mm-hmm. So that's the first level of dealing with your anxiety, at least for the preparation of the event. And we'll share as much information as what we can beforehand and answer as many questions beforehand as what we can. That may not take away your anxiety, but at least it knows that will let you know that we're there listening. And it's not just us, it's also the people that will be journeying with you. And then as far as anxiety that goes further back, you mentioned it goes back further, let's say 20 years. An example of how mushrooms work, not so much soma works, but mushrooms worked on this pattern that we have. We talk about the examples of how you respond differently because your brain mapping has changed slightly after a soma retreat, where if you've got all these routes mapped out, and these routes in your brain have always been there. But because of something that's happened in your past, maybe you went to the border wars and you're a war veteran and bombs went off, so that when a loud noise happens, you duck. When someone cuts you off in traffic, you respond in a certain way. It's because over a period of your life, these routes in your brain have been, these are the paths that you've been using. And that's potentially where your anxiety comes from as well. I'm not saying it is, but potentially it is. And you're responding in a very habitual kind of way, because this is how you've trained yourself to respond. This is how your life has worked out. After a mushroom journey, nothing changes other than potentially pathways and routes that your brain has chosen not to use become accessible to you again. So that when that loud noise goes off, maybe this time you don't flinch. Maybe when the car cuts you off in traffic, maybe you don't lose your temper. Maybe tomorrow you do. It's not necessarily the route or the pathway that's changed, but the other routes become available to you. And that's potentially the source of a solution to your anxieties and your depressions that are available to you. But you then have the choice. You in many ways have the choice of going back to the old pathway, going back to the old route. And that's why we talk about this nearly a cliche of having to do the work of saying, well, you know what? Here's different pathways available to me. I may not know where this road goes. Two paths convert. What's the poem? I can't remember it so much of Robert Frost. It's really two roads part in the woods. Kerry, you the poet. But that's the concept of, you don't necessarily know where that alternative pathway is going to go, but it's always been there. So that's potentially how your anxiety will get addressed on a bigger scale. The medications in the modern world that are available to us and have very much fulfilled the purpose and will continue to fulfill a purpose of getting us through this day, this week, this month, or this year are not going to help open up those pathways. They're going to help get you through this day, this month, this week, this year. But 20 years later, you've got through 20 years. You now need to want to look at different pathways and different ways of dealing with your anxiety. And I hope we can help you do that, Jennifer. And asking the question and at least coming into a community where people have been dealing with that before. There may be others here that are also dealing with anxieties and depression. You certainly aren't alone. We've heard this often enough. The most recent that I can think of is a war veteran, is an Angola war veteran, who I'm thinking of exactly that. And he spent his whole life dealing with the consequences of that. And he's been on a couple of journeys now, and he has an opportunity to respond differently. It doesn't make his days easier, I don't think, but it makes them more fulfilling. It makes you see the lights in the future in a different kind of way. And I think that's why you're here. You just want to try something different. You can't expect the same outcome by not trying something different.
Yeah.
And this different works. Gurida.
Yeah, thank you.
I just wanted to say something to differ about the anxiety of driving to the ceremony. This group that Anton talks about beforehand, this Soma family that you create before you even start, many times people exchange lifts or they offer driving together opportunities.
Mm.
When you do get onto your group, that is a very big possibility that there might be somebody going past you and you don't have to drive on your own. I'm not saying it will happen, but it has happened a lot in the past, and it always sorts itself out that everybody gets to the ceremony in a way that works for them.
Okay, thank you. Thanks.
I'm reminded of that when we had an event here in Breda Valley. Sometimes we had the overflow. Gurida, you were here.
Mm.
Where we did we have a conversation after and the next morning as well, and we were talking about the synchronicities of so many different people that were architects and builders, and it ended up that there were three architects / designers, property designers,
together
at the events, which is one thing out of 20 people. It's quite unusual. But when they realized at the same time that they were all three architects that had actually arrived together, people that on Monday didn't know each other had organized to travel together. All three of the architects actually got in the same car, picked each other up around Cape Town and came to the event. And that's one of the synchronicities that happen with allowing it to happen, and not get... Let the human get involved. Leave it over to the higher force.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're going to have to surrender to, Jennifer. You're going to have to be anxious. I'm not saying don't be anxious. We're saying surrender to the anxiety and be vulnerable with a group of people that you don't know.
And Anton's just brought the be vulnerable part. And we've touched on this WhatsApp group that's created. The WhatsApp groups are created for both the Somerset West journeys and for the Soma at Home journeys. So you get to know who you're going to be journeying with that week. And the beauty of it is we encourage people, for exactly like you, Jennifer, who is feeling crippled with anxiety, let's say the Wednesday, and you've still got 3 days to go before you get to the ceremony, speak it out into the group, because you know what we found is that you're not the only one. And when somebody else knows that, oh my goodness, somebody is just as nervous as I am. Wow, if they're going to go, then I must go, because at least we can hug each other and congratulate each other for being there. You know, so there's this magic that happens that Anton and I, we keep saying we're not the gurus, we're not the shamans, we're not the people that know, because we've come to realize that through these groups of magnificent people that come together, Anton and I don't have all the answers. Because let's say the three architects who drove together, they had an answer for each other that Anton and I would never be able to give them, because we're not architects, you see. So there's something about the magic of it's almost like this divine source that we're all going to go and plug into when we get the opportunity. is masterminding a way so that you actually get the jigsaw piece to your puzzle just by allowing it to happen. Because if we, as Anton said, if we interfere and we say, no, but I want the puzzle with the Big Ben. I don't want the puzzle with the beautiful landscape. It's too difficult. Well, you just let go and open your Christmas present and see what was given to you. You know, so this is kind of the magic that we try to allow to happen, because the more we allow it to happen, the more we realize that we're just enabling this magic to flow into everybody's lives. And this sounds so airy fairy, but it really is.
No, you put it. Put it nicely.
It's one of the interesting things. It's nearly, you know, with the words I wrote beforehand, saying that this is not a shamanic way. It's nearly easy or easier to bring in bells and whistles. It's easier to make this shamanic, to bring in that tribalism, that element of nature, which is a belief system in its own, because that explains the magic, as Rodianne is putting it, a lot easier. Yet a Soma retreat is very neutral, or is neutral as can be, because we're not defining it via shamanism. We're not defining it via a religion. We're not bringing in Eastern symbols. We're actually working hard to open that up and keep it as neutral as possible, so that the architect who is a Christian can have a conversation with the architect who is also
Muslim,
even as an example. If we don't do that, we don't allow the divine to allow anybody to arrive. We categorize it in a very human kind of way. That's the best way that I can explain that scenario. Jennifer, does that answer and give you some security to your thoughts at this point?
Yeah, absolutely, Anton. Yeah, thanks so much for that. Just one other thing. I don't want to hog the conversation. The WhatsApp group you obviously create once you've registered, and what, for four days before the retreat? Okay.
That's right, yes. We'll be in touch. We'll be in touch closer to the time. I've got a long list of people to work through. And the registrations are, there's a lot of people. It just is what it is. We try and accommodate everybody. In Somerset West, but there are the at-home experiences. I wouldn't recommend someone like you, Jennifer, to approach an at-home experience for the first time.
No.
Joining a physical group is the right thing. But there are others who prefer that, and it suits them better. So there is an opportunity to join the at-home experiences for them. And it works in a very similar kind of way. It's an equally safe container, and they're always encouraged to have someone with them who is in direct contact with us. But with your anxiety levels, Jennifer, don't worry. You won't be walking alone for the whole week. We'll be with you.
Okay, thanks, Anton. Much appreciated.
You're welcome. There are a number of questions in the text, and we'll get to all of them. Because we're also recording, if you do need to leave, We will cover the questions, and you'll get a link to it. I want to go to Tandeka before I come to you. I did cut off Francois. Francois, if you're ready, please go ahead now, or else we'll come back to you in a little while. Thanks, Francois. Go ahead.
Good evening, everybody. It's Francois here and Mornay. I'll be joining you guys on the 10th. From my home in George, and it will be my first Soma retreat. I've been exploring a bit of my spiritual side for a couple of years now. I've looked into ayahuasca about 4 or 5 years ago. I haven't actually had an ayahuasca experience. I think it was just, you know, the effort of traveling all the way to South America and also the financial impact of it. So I recently discovered Soma through a video that I saw on YouTube. It's a gentleman called Koa Smith, and he had a head injury in Namibia surfing, and it actually helped him get over the anxiety and the stuff that he was dealing with through that. So the question that I have, so I've got Mornay that will be looking after me. It's my first experience. From my side, I'm not nervous. I'm quite excited for the journey. I've done a bit of research, but he is, he doesn't know what to expect. The closest thing that I could show him was I've watched something on Netflix called The Goop Lab, and they did a mushroom experience in, I think, in Jamaica. And that was the closest that I could kind of try and show him. I don't know if anybody's seen that. Is that what it's like for the watcher? What can they expect for somebody doing it for their first time, taking approximately 5 milligrams of the soma?
Is there anybody? Anton,
would you shall I answer?
Go ahead, Margie.
Mm-hmm. The companion or the home watcher is really there to keep you safe. Not that there should be anything serious that happens, but just to be there to make you feel safe as well, and to anchor you if things are getting a little bit difficult to manage. You can just open your eyes and talk to the person and get anchored through that. It's difficult to know if you haven't done a journey before exactly how you'll react, whether you'll be very active because at home you can be active because you're not disturbing anybody else, or whether you will remain very calm. For example, when I journey, I almost don't move for hours. So it depends very much how you react. So the companion is there just to also prepare your soup for when, or any food that you want when you start coming out of your journey, and have that ready for you, help you get up and go to the toilet if you do need to go, and get you a blanket if you suddenly get very cold. So that's what the companion would be. And it might be difficult for the companion to really understand what's happening with you because it's such an inward experience, and it might not show on the outside what you're going through, or you might be quite active and want to talk and sing or do a whole range of things. So it's very difficult to know exactly how you're going to react. The companion is also there to link up with the watcher WhatsApp group, because we'll have a group of watchers on the online journey who on the WhatsApp group as well. And if the companion wants to contact and say, you know, if they're worried about something, they can contact any of the watchers to ask for, to chat or to ask a question. The companion is also really useful when you start coming out of your journey to just let us know if you can't, you know, manipulate your phone enough to send the WhatsApp. A companion can just update us and say, Francois is actually doing fine. He's going back, he's going to sleep, or he's, you know, whatever, just to keep us informed about how things are going. So it's quite difficult to predict, you know, exactly what the companion will manage. We'll have to do, but it could be that the companion doesn't have to do anything, just be there and either be in the same room with you or be in a separate room, whatever. But the person is just there to make you feel safe, even though, I mean, the whole process is very safe. Everybody comes out of it the next morning. And so I don't know if that helps you understand a bit. I know we can't be very specific, but we have a Zoom on the evening. On the Saturday evening, around about 7:30, we have a Zoom where we all introduce ourselves, and the companion can also share any questions that they have. Then they'll be a part of the WhatsApp group as well. They can ask questions on the WhatsApp group. Yeah, so I hope that gives you some sense.
Okay, yeah, thank you, Morgie. Just from what I've seen, like I explained to you, I've seen the Netflix show, The Group Lab. It seems like people go through quite a few different emotions. They're laying down and there's a lot of emotions happening. It could be laughing. It could be calmness. It could be crying. And then also from what I've read on the website, where some people stand up and they walk outside at different times during the night. And it seems like the effects sort of wear off 6 to 8 hours afterwards. Is that right?
It varies. Anything from about 3 to 6 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think if I remember, I did watch that program a while back, but I think there was more active, if I remember correctly, I think there was more active engagement of the watchers in the process.
Yes, they were holding they were holding their hands and they were comforting them. They were close by all the time and you could see that there was a lot of emotion involved.
Yeah, and that's very common, laughing and crying. The way we work is that as companions or watchers, we don't intervene at all. We never initiate contact with you, with the journeyer. We always, if the journeyer wants a contact, so I've been at ceremony in Somerset West where I landed up holding two people's hands at the same time, but they asked for that. They really wanted that. I would never, as a watcher, have initiated that contact. So it's important for Mornane to try and resist from going to hold you if you're saying that you're feeling really hard. Just for him to sit there nearby is enough, rather than intervening in any active way.
Okay, thank you. Because sorry, just lastly, because my idea is to be in one of the rooms, maybe on a mattress, light a candle, and then from what I remember, you guys send some music through that will probably play in the background, and just have a calm evening, and then, you know, just be calm when the ceremony starts and take it from there.
Sounds like a good plan.
Margie,
it's Mornay here. I just want to ask you as well, so you leave that person alone. So in other words, you don't go into the room and look and see what's happening. But because, you know, it's very abstract. So I need to know, do I sit and wait until that person calls me, or do I pop into the room at some stage and see if they're still all right? I think it's just, for me, wanting to take control, which is totally wrong, because one cares. You want to know, is that person safe? So how do I know when to stop? And
I think the idea is to not... So if Francois, for example, is really crying, quite sobbing a lot, maybe just go and sit nearby, but don't touch him or don't engage with him unless he starts talking to you. Then that's different, because you can affect his journey quite a lot by interfering, and it might send him his journey into a different direction. So the thing is to wait for him to initiate. But it's a good idea to pop in every now and then and just get a sense of how he's doing. Maybe leave the door open, you know, to the room. If he does feel like he's crying a lot and going through a lot of emotions, just come and sit in the room, but don't interfere in any way. Make sure he's got tissues and all of that. But don't necessarily interfere unless he specifically asks you to.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
Mornay, a reminder specifically to you that in a very similar way that we spoke to Jennifer, the WhatsApp group beforehand is available to you as well, Mornay. So for the whole week beforehand, we're going to be assisting you prepare for this experience. We'll be sharing articles. We'll be sharing advice with you as well. Maybe even in this instance to be more important, so that Francois can let go and just focus on trusting that you've got the physical environments looked after. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole week of preparation that will include both of you, so that you can make the best of this experience.
You won't just be dumped.
Yeah. And then at the end of the day, those questions of, well, what should I do, that you've now expressed to Margie, and Margie's really given you a good answer for this instance, but we don't know what the answer is going to be when the night comes along, is throughout the night, we're going to be available to you in a helpline kind of way. We'll be there at the response of a text message to say, well, Francois standing at the door, Francois lying on his back, what must I do? We can tell you what to do if you don't know. But I think you'll know, because you're going to respond as someone that knows him very well and trusts him very well and is trusting him through the process just to let go. You don't need to understand it. And Todor, to answer your question in some ways, relating to what does it become to become a watcher, anybody can be a watcher. Mm-hmm. Anybody can watch another person go through a mushroom experience in many ways. By allowing them to go through the experience, because that's what it means to be a watcher. Mm. It means that you're not controlling the situation. You're not guiding it. You don't need to understand it. You've got no expectations of your own, of what you think you need to know the other person's going through. A watcher's role is quite simply to ensure that that person's safe, number one. And secondly, to have compassion as a human being. Yes, hold the person's hand. But you have got no idea what that other person is going through. So even to ask questions could be an interruption. Someone who's expressing agony may actually be having incredible joy. They're going through a psychedelic experience, which you don't need to understand. They can share that with you the next day. And that's the difficulty, Mornay. The only difficulty that you're going to have is to let go and let Francois go through this experience. And you've got a very, very special role to play. The fact that you've neither been through a psychedelic experience like this, the experience of doing this together is incredibly bonding. And when I say together as watcher and as journeyer, not as two people journeying together, but you will never forget it for the rest of your lives. And it could be tough. It could be difficult in that it could be emotional and there could be some stuff to work through. But that's okay, because by the time the next morning comes, it'll be over. The sun will have come up, and things will be different in the sense that there's a connection that will happen between the two of you that will be unforgettable. And we've seen that in these at-home experiences, how profound that has been, where partners, friends, family are simply there for each other to gain an understanding of what it means to simply be there for someone, without an expectation of your own, without wanting to understand or needing to understand, because we don't need to understand what the other person's going through. We only need to know that we can be there for them under all circumstances. And I want to add, I've got a lot of exclamation marks I'm putting on today. I apologize for that. I really am sorry. I feel like I'm very firm. I want to very firmly say that mushrooms are safe. Full stop.
Yeah.
Problems come from our own fears. Those fears are the obstacles. Your fear of going through this experience is the obstacle. Your fear of not letting go is what makes you hang on to the edge and get hurt as you fall down the cliff and cut your arms and scratch yourself because you haven't let go. Alcohol is a lot more dangerous than mushrooms. Under all circumstances, drinking in public, drinking at home, drinking in a group, drinking with friends, under all circumstances is more dangerous. The only thing that we're recommending is do not mix mushrooms with anything else. If you're working only with mushrooms under the right circumstances and with the right intention, mushrooms are safe. Full stop.
Okay.
That's me. That's my mood. I mean, I'm sorry, everybody. It's like, Tandeka, you waited a very long time.
Very patient.
Very patient. Please go ahead.
I know, right?
Yes.
Thank you so much. I'm really grateful to be here, guys. I think it's something you cannot explain. I mean, so I had a few questions, but a lot of them I think have been answered throughout. I just want to understand just a picture of what happens, what time will the medicine kick in, and it lasts for how long? So I hear you guys refer to the morning every time. So how long does it last? And the someone who's going to be with me, it's my sister, but unfortunately she could not join for this particular session. But I also want to make sure that for her, as she's going to be watching me, is it going to be something that is going to be overnight? How does she prepare to make sure that she stays up in case I need anything? So just all those, you know, bits of information.
So Anton, I'm happy to answer this. So Tandeka, thanks for your questions. So generally, for an at-home event, we get together in the evening on Zoom, and about 7:30, and we do our introductions and we get to see each other, as opposed to just being on the WhatsApp group. And then we generally try and coordinate when we start taking the sacrament, and it depends on how big the group is, but it's generally between somewhere around 8:30 and 8:45. And then as Margie has just said, it really depends on you and your journey, and it can last anything from 3 hours and it can be longer. And as you're coming out of a journey, you're generally wanting to eat something, maybe you're wanting to go outside, you know, maybe you want something to drink. And so from an at-home experience point of view, once you've come out of your journey, and you have been a little bit more conscious, generally you then want to go and sleep. So, and it's very difficult to say at this time, at that time, that that's going to happen. It really does depend on the individual. And so I think it's important for her to be aware that she might need to be awake until 1 o'clock in the morning, for you. I don't know, Margie or Anton or Rodianne, if there's anything that you want to add to that. And I don't think it'll be difficult for her to stay awake. You know, she can be dozing, and if you're calling out and you're quite close to her, or she's quite close to you, and you need help, then she can respond quite quickly to that. But because Soma is such an internal and individual experience, and as we were talking about earlier on, you might have a completely internal experience and not ask for help, or you might be a little bit more active and want to go outside and need a hand to hold, or somebody to pass you something. So it's very varied. So those are all of the scenarios that can happen. I don't know if that helps.
It definitely does. I think when I started, there was like a lot of uncertainty and anxiety around thinking about the whole experience. But I think with everything that you guys shared and everyone else, I think it's just, you know, I'm calm now.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
And I also, you know, and Tandeka, you get a lot of information beforehand, particularly about how to set up your environment if you're doing the at-home experience, you know, lighting and making a comfortable space and preparing your soup and what to do in the day before you're getting, before you get to do your ceremony and take the sacrament. And that's also very helpful. And I think because it is about doing it with a sense, I can't think what the word is now, a sense of respect, I think is a good way to do it, to talk about it. It's a sense of respect for what you're going to go through. And yeah.
All right. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Great.
Andeka, I'm very much looking forward to connecting with you in 2 weeks' time. No, it's in 10 days' time. It's next week. Mm-hmm. And yes, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. There's a word that you used referring to soma and mushrooms as medicine. Between now and next week, please don't use that word again. Because it's not medicine. Mm-hmm. It's a connection. It's a lot of different things, but it's not medicine. You don't need medicine. Not in this way. So take that idea and chuck it out, and we can talk about it more. We can talk about it more next week. there's another explanation. But really looking forward to seeing you both.
Thank you so much, guys.
You're welcome. I want to go to Madeleine. Madeleine asked to ask a question. Madeleine, before I switch to you, I want to say something about what we mean, and maybe not say it, but maybe ask it to anybody who wants to answer what it means to have a spiritual experience. To me, spiritual experience is, I arrived at a soma retreat as a what I refer to as a spiritual seeker. Whatever that meant to me, it's very easy to say I was a spiritual seeker. But that relates to what is my purpose in life? I've spent times in my life where I've said, well, what is my meaning? Why am I here? Do I believe in God? Do I not believe in God? It's not religious. It's not a religious question. But when I refer to a spiritual experience, that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about spirits. We're not talking about evil spirits and good spirits. We're specifically talking about that deeper meaning that could be something for anybody, and it could be something different for everybody. That private inner thought process is a spiritual experience. That thought process where no one has a right to tell me what I believe and what I don't believe. That is in part connection to spirituality. And for you, that may mean you believe in evil spirits, that there's evil spirits in your concept of spirituality. But that's not the concept that we're referring to here. And we therefore find a difficulty in explaining it in many ways, in the way that Sizwe has advised or asked about the risk of coming into contact with evil spirits. That could happen walking down Main Road Weinberg.
I think maybe the concept that someone might think is an evil spirit is one of the hallucinations you could have. I'm going to be completely frank now, because ultimately what's happening is you're hallucinating when you're on mushrooms. And we've come to realize that this hallucination is actually not just a figment of our imagination, but you're actually connecting to a divine force. It's not just a construct of our mind. It's not just what comes to you is not something that is something that you would most likely think of in your daily grind, in your daily life. And that's why you often hear the word mystical attached to these ceremonies too, or to these experiences. Let's be more frank, because it's something that's intangible. It's something that's unexplainable. It's something that's divine of a creation that most of the time, all of the time, when someone says they've had a bad trip, it's usually because it's been a really tough experience, and it's been something that they haven't wanted to confront or see or acknowledge. And again, those evil spirits, those fearful experiences, those are all brought to you in the soma experience because it's something that you need to acknowledge or just observe and say, okay, hey, you are here. And we often say to somebody, there was this wonderful example of a big giant snake moth. And the journeyer was extremely nervous about this mouth of a snake. But what did she do? She walked straight into the mouth of the snake. And she realized that there was nothing to be afraid of once she'd actually walked into the mouth of the snake. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, what an incredible gift. Because me as a person, if I'm confronted with something that's so real in my mind, that is so scary, and I can actually walk towards it. Now just bear this in mind, our imaginations are so out there that it has us all crippled with fear and anxiety and all of these things. It's all a construct of our imaginations. Now, if that imagination is so scary and we can embrace it in a soma journey, can you imagine how boring life actually is going to seem when you come out of your soma ceremony? Because you're going to be like, hey guys, I just walked into the mouth of a snake this weekend. You are just throwing your toys. I mean, come on, you're not a snake. There's something so magical about confronting these deep fears when you know you're in a held, loving environment where there's somebody in your space with you saying, you know what, you got this. And if you're flipping out, I'm here. Just open your eyes. I'm here for you. There is something so empowering and so magical about that, that I can rave about it for hours. But until you've actually been there and been vulnerable to that experience and opened yourself to that experience, I can preach about it for hours, but until you allow yourself that opportunity, you probably will not understand what I'm talking about. And I can only urge you to give it a go.
Mushrooms are very experiential. I think the learning process and what you learn through a soma experience or learn even through mushrooms is experiential. To gain an understanding of death, you have to die. To gain an understanding of snakes and what it means to walk into the mouth of a snake, you need to walk into the mouth of a snake. Ego death is a very good example that experience of dying is going to teach you how you feel in this human dimension that we walk in. I hope that helps. Madeleine. Thank you for waiting.
Thank you so much. I just want to add something about the first juniors that you decide or you have decided to go for your first journey. So relax. Even if you don't know what's going to happen, relax. It's just like going for your first ride on a bicycle. You don't know if you're going to fall down or have a speed wobble or whatever. So you decided to do it. So go with that open mind in it, no intentions, just to receive whatever soma wants to bring to you. And the thing on spirituality, I just want to add to that is that religion is judgmental. But spirituality is not judgmental. So you are open-minded. You don't judge the next person that's coming in with different beliefs than you have. Actually, we fulfill each seeing each other for who they are. And when you see that, you will realize we are all connected and we are all one. And even for those who are doing it at home, like Ornay, and what's his name, Francois. The atmosphere that you need to have is important. So with, I think it was Margaret that said it. Your lights, your color, your music, and everything. So create a beautiful sacred space, because that is what it is. It is sacred, and afterwards you will realize what happened to you. And enjoy it. Enjoy it. Don't be, as Rodi-Ann talked about, the snakes and the evil spirits. And Anton also said, you know what? You are going to connect with higher self within you. And that is what is important. So there's nothing to be afraid about. And you will have the boldness to deal with whatever comes your way. I just want to ask Anton, I actually have somebody that I'm going to journey on Saturday evening, two people. The one is on medication, antidepressant, but I'm quite clued up with that. But the other one is on a mission for nothing to take alcohol anymore. Well, it's the first one that I'm going to do with that. So do you suggest that you also taper it down? I asked them to try to leave it a week. And they tried it down, but I'm not sure if you are familiar with it.
Madeleine, your line, your connection broke up just slightly.
Okay.
Repeat what they're going through. Are you saying they're suffering with an addiction to alcohol?
Yeah, the guy is on the medication is dalsilpirim. So, and that actually helps him not to drink. So I'm not so sure about using this medication with it. Do you know anything about it?
I'm going to give you a very firm, straight up, standard answer. Mushrooms will not conflict with any other substance, except maybe for cocaine, because that also does stay in your system a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
If people are on medications, SSRI, antidepressants, things like whatever medications they are on, when those questions are asked, I typically the answer doesn't matter what it is. Because they don't have to taper off it. The tapering off or coming off the medication is what could create the problem. If you're on, for example, on something like lithium, coming off lithium in an uncontrolled method, that creates the problem, not the experience with mushrooms. There's no combustion effect that happens. So if someone's on a medication for an addiction like alcohol, best practice, number one, don't do it without the medical practitioner's advice. And in all fairness to anybody who's a psychiatrist or is qualified in that environment, we are working with a substance that's not legal at the moment. But there are people here who've been referred to these events and meetings like this via psychiatrists. The psychiatrists also have to take responsibility for stepping in with advice and helping those people with the right advice of, well, how do you take less if you want to take or go through a mushroom experience? The mushrooms or the medications are only going to suppress the emotion. And typically the negative effect that you get is, number one, the tapering off, the withdrawal, and the other substance that's then taken is a suppressive effect. And maybe something like alcohol, I can't imagine that that's something that's helping with an alcohol addiction is necessarily got to do with a suppressive emotion effect that it has. I don't know. And that's why I don't give advice, because I don't need to know. I only need to know that there's going to be no problems if you stay on the medication, other than maybe a suppressive effect, that you may not have the full effect of the mushrooms. But yet so many people have prepared themselves by tapering off their medications and still had the full experience. So Madeleine, don't overthink it.
Yeah, thank you. No, that's more than enough information for me. And actually, I agree with you, Anton, because I've seen people, overthink too much about that, and they miss out on what's going to happen to them. But I trust Soma, and I trust the old.
I want to go back to the beginning of the meeting. In a way, it's not our role. Mushrooms are legal and is something that can be prescribed and medicated, by all means, the psychiatrist can then take responsibility for prescribing psilocybin mushrooms and dealing with the rest of the medications. Our role is to fulfill and stand there for a person who says, well, I don't have an alternative. I've been on medications and I've tried different things for 20, 30 years. I've been to 3 or 4 different medical practitioners. Whatever the backstory is, I'm going to take mushrooms with or without you, because that's effectively what everybody here in this meeting is doing and saying, I want to experience mushrooms. Google says, YouTube says that millions of people are doing this and it's helping them. How can you help me? And that's what we're doing. We're saying, well, okay, I don't want you to do this on your own. I don't want you to journey and work with mushrooms uninformed. I want to give you the information, and where possible, I want to create a space for you that you can have the best possible outcome. And the best possible outcome may not be the easiest outcome, but it certainly is going to be the best outcome. Because mushrooms wants the best for you, and we want the best for you, and you want the best for you.
That's the only reason why we suggest tapering off medication is because of the suppressive.
I know,
you might not have a very good experience, but for the rest of it, like Anton says, if it's too difficult to come off your medication, you will have an experience, albeit not as, I don't know, fulfilling. Maybe you might not have as many visions. Maybe you may not see as many colors. Maybe you may just have a dampened experience. And for us, what's the point in taking 5 grams and not actually having the best experience possible?
Yeah.
And that's actually the only reason why. But if somebody is in a medical situation where they cannot, take the mushrooms anyway.
Yeah, okay. No, thank you so much.
It relates a little bit to dosage. Madeleine, don't go away. It relates a little bit to dosage as well. We're dealing with a natural substance. We're not dealing with a lab-produced chemical that's put into a capsule. The amount of psilocybin in a 5 gram dose varies. And it's one of the many reasons that 5 grams is the right dose to have a full experience. There can be nothing worse to prepare yourself for an opportunity to work with mushrooms and work with Soma in this way, and then be disappointed because you decided you're going to take less. And then you don't have the full experience, or you think you don't. There's nothing worse than stepping up to a fearful situation that you're already uncomfortable with, but you prepared the work, you presented courage, and then you're unsure. You don't step through the door because did I take enough? Didn't I take enough? Was my choice to take 2 grams not the right choice? 5 grams is a guarantee of that's a full dose. And it comes not from a scientific research. It comes from 13 years of experience. And not 13 years of experience of one person a week. 13 years of experience of 20, 30 odd people at a time. Thousands of people that have been through Monica's door. And she's passed on those experiences to us. We've been through those experiences for how many times? It is a choice. If someone wants to take less, by all means. But we really don't want you to have a half-hour experience because you haven't had the full dose. And that comes back to medication. We encourage one to come off, if you can, 24 to 48 hours beforehand. But if it's a scenario where you know, because everybody knows, everybody who's on antidepressants or is on medication for alcohol knows, what happens if I miss my medication? Do I get moody? Do I get grumpy? Does nothing happen? What happens if I forget it and I miss it for the whole weekend? Everybody knows. And if the response that you have is not acceptable to you, then don't come off the medication. If you're willing to take on a certain queasiness because there's a withdrawal, then by all means, deal with that. But if you know there's going to be consequences, like a drop, I know lithium can create a terrible withdrawal and drop experience. Do not, under any circumstances, just stop taking medications that are that powerful, that have such an effect on you, other than without the support of a medical medical practitioner.
Exactly.
And under all circumstances, there will be the right people there to help you. Under all circumstances, if you ask. We've recently had a lady who's in her late 70s, and she's had her granddaughters. 78. She's had her granddaughters with her. She suffers from Alzheimer's, and she trusted her granddaughters to take her through this experience, and they did it in the middle of the day with a GP present who's got no experience about mushrooms, but he works consulting hours and therefore was there for the first 2 or 3 hours so that grandmother could go through the experience. And it's not necessarily our way of doing it at night and this, but it's a way that worked, and we've got to support and encourage that. We can't create rules around that. We've got to give the grandchildren the right. We've got to give the grandmother the right to try something different, which may help. And we can't say it will help, but it may help. And something magical is likely to happen as a consequence.
The inspiration call for action.
Exactly. That's it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Madeleine. there was that little bit about dosage that I mentioned, Todor, I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly, about the first time around the dosage. It's always a choice. But it is recommended to stick with a 5-gram dosage. In the beginning, Monica started with a smaller dosage. It was 2 or 3 grams. It was 3 grams, I think it was. But it's a variable substance. 5 grams is the right dose. It's a safe amount. If you choose to take more, one can choose to take more. There's no reason why not. And that kind of covers Christine's question as well. Christine's left already. About the dosage. It's grams, not milligrams. That milligram amount, I'm going to highlight this again. When we spend a lot of time on YouTube and on Google, there's a confusion about milligrams and grams. Because 5 grams of mushrooms, 5 grams of dried mushrooms, is going to equate to roughly somewhere between 25 and 35 milligrams of psilocybin. So when you see any article that's referring to milligrams, they are referring to synthetic psilocybin, full stop. And actually, when you do a lot of research, you'll find that any of the clinical trials, probably all of them, are done with synthetic psilocybin, because they need to be specific. The research is on psilocybin. It's not necessarily on mushrooms. And what about the rest of the mushroom? Everything else in between that binds it together, that's also making a contribution. So we're referring to grams of dried mushrooms, and the milligram quantity of psilocybin could be variable in the middle. And once again, the guarantee that is the right dose. You okay? I didn't even bring some water for you. I saw Emma. Is it Emma? You did stick your hand up. Try that again. There we go.
Yeah. Hello. Thank you. Wonderful to be here. Yeah, I had a question. Bless you. I have the week of when I have the ceremony. It's on then the 16th. I have a vacation, so I have a lot of space to prepare, but I don't want to overdo it. So I would love to hear your opinion on that. Like, are there things that I could do to improve the experience, or is it better to just leave it and just go in with an open mind?
Hello, Tan.
Yes, Margie's going to add to that. My short answer was yes, that last bit that you said, just the open mind. Go ahead, Margie.
I mean, what we suggest, to start eating lighter stuff towards the end of the week. So to just ease off your digestion. If you like doing meditation, some people like doing that, or just quietening your mind. I mean, having said that, I've done journeys on a Saturday night when I've had a plumbing disaster during the day, a whole lot of people in my flat doing things and thinking, you know, when am I going to quieten down, and then having a very strong journey after that. So it's very variable. But I think thinking about the intention of why you're coming to do the mushroom journey is quite a good thing to think about. Why am I doing it? You know, and that helps you prepare to go and meet Soma and to engage with it, and not you know, just stay waiting for Soma to do all the stuff on you, but going to meet Soma and to work with it. So, Kerry, I think I'm not very strong on doing a lot of preparation. I think about it. It's in my head the whole week before a journey, but I don't do very much other stuff except just think a bit about it. But Kerry, you probably got some other additional ideas.
Yeah, I think what I'm going to talk from my own experience. So what really works for me is, on, you know, is exactly as Margie says, eating lightly, fasting on the day. But what really works for me on the day is connecting into nature in some way. So going for a walk along a river or on the beach or something like that, or doing something I really love. You know, I'm part of a writing group that meets on a Saturday, and I did a journey this Saturday, and I went and met with the writing group, and it was busy and noisy and we were chatting, but it was a deep connection for me because it's something that I really love to do. And then I also did a meditation in the afternoon before I went through to Somaliland. And what I also find very helpful is when I'm at home, is to be quiet, to prepare my soup in a very thoughtful and mindful way. So you're present with the vegetables that you're chopping, you know, with the water that's cooking and boiling and how everything is coming together. And it sounds bizarre. I also find it very helpful when I'm doing a journey at home, is to find something to tidy up and to kind of clear the space in a way. You know, like, you know, there's that drawer that's in your house that needs tidying. And for me, I think that helps to set the intention, because it is about quieting down. It is about clearing a space. It is about connecting in with things that are important to me and that I love. So that's from my experience. Karita, I see you've unmuted yourself. You want to add something?
Would like to add something, and I would say one thing that I would like to say to you that is really important to remember is the days after. It's fine to have a holiday, but don't think that you can go back to work the day after your journey. Or you can, but that is really the time where you do want to spend in your favorite space, in nature or whatever, the day or as much time as you can afterwards. Take time out and take time for yourself.
Can I also add, it's also a little bit different if you're doing an online at home journey versus going to Somerset West. The online at home, we send you information on the WhatsApp group during the week about how to prepare your space, what to get ready, getting your kitchen ready so that, you know, when you're in a bit discombobulated stage and you're hungry and you need to eat something, that things are easy to do, that you don't have to fumble your way to try and find something to eat. At Somerset West, you don't do any of that preparation. It's just about preparing yourself to come rather than having to prepare your whole space in that, because the space is ready for you. The soup is ready for you in Somerset West. So there's slight differences, but both have these WhatsApp groups that talk about how to get ready during the week.
And then I'm going to throw a spanner in the works completely and say, I have arrived at Soma Journeys, oh my goodness, in every variety of ways. And by that, I mean, I've arrived when I have fasted, I've arrived when I've detoxed, I've arrived when I've been an absolute disaster of a human, sobbing my eyes out on the way to the journey, but knowing in my heart that I just needed to arrive. And I think that's the most important thing, is that no matter how you prepare yourself for the week before, you just got to be committed. That moment when you get into your car, that moment just before you join the Zoom call, that's the most important thing, is that feeling in your core is the commitment to doing this. And like Margie said, engaging with Soma, because it's probably one of the most mind-boggling things you'll ever do. So it really, you can arrive and just be ready. I must be honest, the one time when I was completely detoxed and clean, it was probably one of the most profoundly intense, but that's because the mushrooms were very strong, because my system was so clean. But once you get used to taking mushrooms and you understand the way that it communicates with you, when you sense the communication, I'm going to call it communication because I don't know how else to label it so that everybody can understand. But once that starts bubbling up to the surface, even if you've taken 1 gram, because I think Margie and Kerry and Karita will now be able to attest to that, because once you get used to the way that mushrooms communicates with you, you kind of open your eyes and you're like, speak, I'm listening. You know, there's no running away going, oh, what is this in my head? Oh, what happened? This is not me. You engage, you want to hear what it has to say to you. So I hope I haven't confused it, but just know in your heart that you're ready, and that'll be, you just need to arrive with an open heart and an open mind. And that's the most important thing. If you have any doubt before, that's okay. Reconsider, because now is not your time then.
Yeah. Yeah, that really helps. Also, like, hearing everyone that has to say, like, a bit different. Yeah, it really helps. Thank you all.
I want to ask quickly, Emma, you say you're going to be on leave and on holiday. Are you going away after, or are you away before? Are you taking a bit of a break?
Yeah, I have a 1 month vacation from the, let's see, when is, from the 12th of December to the 12th of January. And in the middle is my ceremony. So, and I have no plans yet.
This, I think you're giving yourself the perfect platform, and the platform in the context, not of, and I've got to, for some reason, I've got to share this in some ways. To be an adult, which I've had the opportunity to do at the age of 40, to travel the world for 6 months, and to be able to do something like this with your passport in your pockets, so that you can leave everything behind and just leave. This is not one of those circumstances. You want to leave the passport in the safe and not have that kind of freedom. But, and what I mean by that is to say that so that you don't make any dramatic decisions in your life after the journey, but to give yourself 3 weeks of holiday in the context of the freedom to be quiet and be within without making any dramatic decisions on your life is nearly ideal. Mm. Yes. And to be able to do that without any set agenda or plans is nearly even better, especially from a Soma point of view. If we went into an experience where it was all planned for you, the next 3 weeks after the journey was, you're going to do these activities, you're going to do this mindfulness course, and you're going to do that, that would probably be quite difficult at the end of the day, because it would create an expectation. But to have the freedom just to simply, for that matter, be on holiday and not have to be concerned with anything else will help you a lot. With the understanding as well that you may not be in the greatest of space. You may start questioning things. But it sounds like you have an environment that you can create for yourself where you can at least confront those difficulties, because that's what's important. And Karita, I know it's very close to your heart about what we do after a journey. And I know I avoid, and I know Monica avoids these conversations, because we don't want to create a platform where certain expectations of how you're going to walk through and navigate that journey afterwards, no one can decide that for you. But the post-journey conversations that you can have with the group that you journey with, and that those doors will open, will be quite magical for you. Understanding that maybe your friends that you may be going on holiday with and have certain plans with may not understand what you're going through. Expect that and just go with that freedom and go with the openness of willing to share your experience. And you know what? This is the old school response. And Karita, this is partly for you as well. The old school response, and I refer to it as the old school response, because it's nearly as if it used to be a minority of people that used to attend mushroom journeys with Monica. And therefore, the post experience was be on your own, spend 2 to 3 weeks on your own in the sense of in nature, connecting with other people, and your integration will happen via the people that arrive in your life, not via someone you made an appointment with 2 weeks before the experience. Because Soma knows, your heart knows who the conversation needs to be had with. Soma knows who has a key to unlock a door in your heart, which may have been frozen shut. But if you've made an appointment to go somewhere else beforehand, you may be asking someone for the wrong key. But that doesn't mean we can't assist you with an environment where you can go in those directions. So the old school is be open. The uncle, the aunt, the friend, the random stranger who you meet is your key giver. Likely, that's how Soma works. And be open to that response. Don't change your plans if you've got set places you're going to go and see. But open your eyes, you're going to see it differently.
Reminds me of something we always say to people when they sign up for a Soma journey, and that is just be mindful of the synchronicities that start happening in your life. And just how the strange things that just start falling into place. And maybe you'll find that conversation will shift towards mushrooms where you least expected it. Maybe in a coffee shop, maybe amongst your peers where you thought it was a taboo conversation. Just be mindful of those kind of things, because this is where the magic starts happening. When you, oh, wait, that person's talking about something I'm interested in, and you follow that, you might find there's leads open to a garden path with a whole lot of people sitting talking about what you actually needed to hear. So it's these kind of things that also working with mushrooms starts making you aware of, is what life actually has to offer you. And I think Kerry mentioned that about how she just sees life differently since taking the mushrooms. And I think this is part of it, is that you just learn to, I don't know, maybe hear what's being said around you in a different way. And that triggers things differently inside you. So just being open to those things and just going with the flow. And as Monica would say, being a vagabond in your life.
In that many ways, I hope that helps.
Yeah, it really does. And also what you say, like, also make room for maybe feeling not so great and have space for that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we'll keep that in mind for sure.
And to have the people around that can help you with that.
Exactly. You're not alone. Remember that.
You know, I'm getting older, and older being means being more honest with yourself and other people around you. So the other day I went to the supermarket and I said to the person behind the counter, I said, you know, yes, I'm really having a tough day. I don't normally tell people I'm having a tough day. I'm too hard-assed for that. And you know what, as soon as I said to them, I'm having a tough day, they softened and they said, yeah, sometimes we have tough days. And I felt a lot better. It doesn't have to be someone that you know always. Be open to all of that, and you'll do really well.
Exactly.
Yeah, thank you.
Francois asked about the name of the mushrooms and the strains. Margie, you've answered there. Psilocybe cubensis, Francois and Mornay, you can do some research. There's hundreds of strains. There are only two strains we don't use. And the first is Golden Teacher. It's very much a recreational strain, lots of pretty lights, and it's used in the recreational environment a lot. We're here to do serious work, and it's one of the reasons we avoid a Golden Teacher. And the second one we use is Penis Envy. Penis Envy, is Penis Envy. Penis Envy is highly developed in a laboratory, we try to stick to close as nature as possible. And therefore don't use those strains either. But it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with them. It just means we don't use them for our experiences. If you want to do research on the variety of strains, there's a lot of information. There's a book as well. I can say share the link if you're interested.
I'm more romantic about it than Anton. Okay. I always say that the growers know what you need.
It is, yes.
So the growers arrive at Monica and they say, oh, this is what I've been growing. And Monica goes, oh, that's amazing. And it gets ground up, and it was ground up just for you. Like I always used to say, the mix changes and it changes month to month. And I always used to say romantically, that, well, maybe that's what everybody's needing now. So that's what's arriving in the mix. So we're very open to this fluidity, again, this magic of allowing things to happen as they do.
There's no one else more important in this whole process than the mushroom grower.
Mm.
And when we come to the legality of psilocybin mushrooms as well, the people that need the most protection are the growers. We again, Anton on his soapbox and his little rants, mushrooms may be legal to consume all over or in places in the world. Portugal is a good example. You can take any drugs in Portugal. We all know that. We all use that as a reference story, but you're not allowed to sell mushrooms and you certainly can't grow them. So what freedom and protection is there in that? The right for private and spiritual use. If I want to grow mushrooms, I should be allowed to grow mushrooms. If I want to purchase mushrooms from someone who has been divinely called to grow a certain strain of mushrooms, then that's the mushrooms that I want to purchase. And I want to have the right to be able to do that. The growers are incredibly important and I think have been forgotten under these circumstances because they're not protected. The same as what the cannabis growers aren't protected. And they're fulfilling a very, very important role. In our growth, in our development, etc., our expansion of consciousness, our personal expansion of consciousness, which for each of us is different. I'm no more conscious necessarily than the next guy. I'm just maybe differently consciousness or differently conscious. Sure, falling over my feet now. Thank you. Any other questions? Any other thoughts?
Odo asked about becoming a watcher. If I can just say very briefly, once you've worked with mushrooms as a journeyer for a while, you feel called to do some watching, and then you can start looking at doing some watching, coming to watch how other people watch and just gradually learn the basics of it, because we learn every time we watch it a journey. So yeah, it's you need to journey yourself before you can consider becoming a watcher. That's a short answer.
Just to clarify the context of that, unless it's confused, is anybody can be available while someone journeys as a watcher companion. I think the context that you've answered there, Margie, to take that one level further as a Soma watcher, which is an expansion of our training and how we work with Monica specifically, is an important step, and to first experience mushrooms multiple times before we can step into that as into a next level of our training and an expansion of our understanding of how to work with mushrooms. But that doesn't limit you from being available as a companion for someone during an experience. In our view, that's possible for most people under the right circumstance. Someone that you trust, that's the important thing. They don't need to know anything more than that, to be able to be available. Right, thanks, Margie. Emma, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I heard you a few times talking about fasting before you go enter that Soma dance. And I have an history with eating disorder. And I feel that my inner eating disorder voice gets a bit happy when the voice hears that she can fast for a whole day. So I don't know if I want to fast or how I can make that decision for yourself, and maybe you could help me in making that decision.
So Emma, you know, I'm really glad you asked the question, because it is very difficult when you have an eating disorder, and as you say, that voice starts talking to you. And I think that at the end of the day, you must do what's right for you. And the recommendation is that if you do eat on the day, is to eat lightly, and then to not eat anything after 12 o'clock. So have a light breakfast or something like kind of mid-morning-ish. But it's for Soma to work effectively, it is better if your digestive system is rested. So work with that and see how that feels for you. And choose things that are light, you know. I don't know what's light, yogurt and berries or something like that.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I think that's a good thing. And I will just let it go through my mind and I'm sure I will find a way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Any other questions? Any other thoughts? Any closing thoughts from Margie, Kerry, Gurida, Madeleine? We've lost the connection. Brody, no more thoughts?
I don't think so.
All right.
I just say something in closing, Anton? I just want to say that working with Soma is a gift, and certainly for me it has been a profound journey. I think I might have said that right at the beginning, on a number of levels, and I interestingly had a coffee with a friend of mine last week who I met through work, and we sat next to each other. And we really didn't become friends until I actually started working with Soma. And she said to me last week, and she does know that I've been on this journey. And she says, you know, when I first met you, she said you were so closed off. And she said it was very difficult to talk to you. And now we've become friends, and it's really lovely. So it is the ripple effects of connecting deeply with yourself and your own spirit and your own connection to the world is amazing. So I really do wish all of you the gift of Soma.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Gurida.
Thank you, Uncle. I just want to say something also closing very quickly. I've spoken to many different people that's done Soma experience or mushroom experiences all over the world, in different countries and different parts of South Africa. And what I can just tell everybody here that has not done it before, the group of people that does Soma journeys, the Soma way, it is the most amazing group of people that you could possibly wish to have involved in your mushroom journey. So you guys are very lucky that you ended up here. That's my closing
statement. Thank you.
Thank you, Gurida. And thank you, Kerry. Thank you, Margie. Thank you, Rodianne, for being here. And thank you to each of you. More importantly.
No, thank you. Yeah, thanks. Thanks, everyone.
And we look forward to staying touched. Thank you, Jennifer. Look forward to staying.
Okay.
So thanks a lot. We look forward to touch. Bye.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye. Thanks, Anton.
Bye. Thank you, guys. Much appreciated. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.